that set in your mind. I tell you, I appreciated the preaching, Brother David. And I'm sure we could all relate to most of what he said. But we have one goal. Just one goal. And everything else is secondary. Praise the Lord.
Brother David, I did enjoy that very much. And, you know, I never was very good in science. So some of that I might not have understood about your science lesson. But when you talk about pressure, to me, all you have to say is one word. People. And if you work with people, there's pressure. But I have found for myself the key for the ministry in all these years is learn to love people. And if you can love them, no matter how their faults are, you still want to help them. And that's my goal, is to continue to love people.
I think probably most of y'all know this song, so you can help us. Oh, Lord, as I wonder.
Oh, Lord, as I wonder. On earth here below.
My heart is so heavy.
My heart is so heavy.
Wherever I go.
I meet with disaster.
That burdens my soul.
But then I remember I have but one goal.
I'm bound for that city.
Beauty so rare.
But then I remember I have but one goal. I'm bound for that city.
he's so rare. To live with my Savior eternally there.
No more disappointments.
No more disappointments. Will burden my soul through troubles and trials. I have but one goal.
I'm bound for that city.
I'm bound for the city. A beauty so rare. To live with my Savior eternally there. No more disappointments will burden my soul.
Through troubles and trials,
I have but one goal.
Praise God. Hey.
Right, and Brother Tracy can correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like to me that I might have had part in the first Branson meeting several years ago. And here we are again. And back in January, Brother Tracy called me and asked me if I'd come here. And I said, what subject? And I have yet to figure out whether he was just kidding or whether he was serious. He said, I want you to talk about church splits. Well, here we are. So, church splits, here we come. I want to talk to you about dealing with church splits. I want the Lord to help us today. Can you lift your hands and ask the Lord to come by here? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I got something here I want to just share with you before, and you can be turning to the first chapter of the book of Ruth, this morning. And, I obtained this little article when I was at, Brother Dorsey's church a few months ago, and I have found it to be so helpful, back in our part of the country. There were two brothers. And, in some sense of the word, I can relate to this. And, these two brothers had adjoining farms. And these two brothers with adjoining farms fell in conflict with each other. And it was their first serious rift in 40 years, farming side by side. They were always shared their machinery. They traded their laborers and their goods without any problem. But somehow or another, a small misunderstanding come between those two blood brothers. And it grew into a major difference. Finally, it exploded. You know, and let me say this. Hurts can be corrected when they are hurts. But if they're not dealt with when they are hurts, it'll eventually turn into bitterness. And if bitterness is not dealt with, it will turn into hate. So these two brothers, that major difference finally exploded. And in an exchange of bitter words between these two brothers that had lived beside each other on their farms for 40 years. Reconciliation was utterly unthinkable. And one day, somebody came and knocked on John's door. John was the elder of the two brothers. And he opened the door and find it a man with a carpenter's toolbox. How many of you have ever heard this story? Yeah. Wonderful. Thank God there's only two of you, so the rest of you get it fresh. John being the older, and this man came with a carpenter's toolbox, and he said to John, said, I'm looking for a few days of work, and maybe you could just give me a few small jobs here and there, and I'd just like to help you out if I can. The older brother said, oh, yes. Said, I've got a job for you. Said, look across there. See across that creek at that farm? That's my neighbor. And in fact, he's my younger brother. Last week, there was a meadow between us, and he took his bulldozer to the river. And with that bulldozer, he bulldozed a creek all the way up between his property and mine. And he said, he just did that to spite me. He said, I'm bound to do one better than that. He said, there's a pile of lumber curing out there in the barn. And said, I want you to build me a fence 8 feet tall that I cannot see through it and nobody can climb over it. 8 foot tall. That'll cool his heels. So the carpenter said, I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails and the post hole digger and I'll be able to do a job that I think will please you. So John had to go to town to get some supplies. And so he helped the carpenter get the materials ready. It's hard if I just take my time today. Amen. Now, they didn't put any time limits, so 3 o'clock would be fine. He went to town to get some materials and supplies. And he's gone all day. The carpenter went working and measuring and sawing and nailing. And about sunset, John returned from town, and the carpenter had just finished his job. I want you to get this. This is important. And when the farmer, John, looked and saw what this carpenter had done, his eyes flew open, his jaw dropped. And there was no fence to be seen. But what that carpenter had done, he built a bridge crossing that creek from one side to the other side. Fine piece of work. Handrails and everything. All done. Finished. This farmer John looked across the field. And on the other side of that bridge was his younger brother standing. Are y'all still living in the house? Amen. And the younger brother had his hand outstretched to the older brother. The younger brother said, you're quite a fella to build a bridge after all I've said to you and about you and done to you. Amen. And the two brothers stood at each end of the bridge, and then they met in the middle, took each other's hands, and finally they were reconciled. They turned to see the carpenter host his toolbox on his shoulder, and he said, no, wait, said, we got other jobs you can do. He said, no, I can't stay. I've got other bridges to build. So, the Lord help me. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost right now.
If God would help us to be bridge builders instead of fence builders or creek diggers. Amen. The work of God would be blessed. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Then we'll drop down in the chapter. That came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and I know everybody here knows this story. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, and this is important, when they were come to Jerusalem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then called ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Say, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. I pray for God's help today. I went to a preacher's meeting in Tennessee in January. Was not intending to preach, had no expectation to preach, and was not scheduled to preach, and one of the speakers were not able to come. Brother Don Ingram, I hadn't hardly got out of the car and said, I want to talk to you. And, I figured I was in for it. So he said, you're preaching in that preacher's place. I had nothing. Strange as it is, this subject just kept coming to my mind all the way down there. So I must confess to you today, this is not the first time I preached it. And I really thought that since I had preached it there and CDs were made, you know, that's the terrible thing about CDs and tapes. They always go ahead of you. And I just figured, you know, everybody's got it and heard it. And so I called Brother Tracy and I said, shall I pick another subject? He said, no. He said, we got some folks out here that need it. So here we are. Does not understand commitment. And I really feel least among you brethren here today. But most of us that are here, most of us, maybe not all, but most of us has had to either deal with a church split or know someone close to us that has. It's not an easy thing to deal with. Amen. A whole lot of us here this morning, and you may not want to admit it, but a whole lot of us are pastoring church splits. And probably some of them happened so many years ago that another generation has come along and your present generation don't even know anything about it. And it's better they don't. Hello. So, amen. I wished I could say that every church split is all the same, but they're not. Hello here. I've seen some, now y'all stay with me here this morning. I've seen some church splits and nobody left. Anybody here now? Brother Ralph Cox told me And he's from Oklahoma, and we got some Oklahoma folks here. And y'all probably heard him say it. Brother Ralph Cox tell me about this church. And he told me at the time, and that's been years ago now, where it was, and I don't remember. He said we had a church split in our part of the country. And he said it was a real church split. Said one group sat on this side, and the other group sat on this side. Had no communication between them. And the rift got so bad, they took chainsaws and went and split the building in half, right down the middle. And Brother Cox said, that's what you call a church split. There are a lot of reasons sometimes, and sometimes a lot of excuses for church splits or splinters. You know, there's some splits that have split and then splinters split off of that. But I'm not going to pretend to tell you this today that which is which. But there are some church splits that's God-inspired. Did I lose any of you here? Really? Some of them are. There are other church splits is nothing more than power struggles. Going to be boss. There are other church splits that is a result of personality conflicts. There are other church splits, amen, that is inspired by the devil. Amen. And I'm not going to tell you which one's which. You'll have to decide that. Amen. But I do want to say, amen, that it's not my department to say which is which. That's his business. And God will straighten it all out after a while. Amen. And I'm not going to pretend, amen, to know what God thinks about all the church splits in the country. Does anybody here know anybody that's been involved, amen, with church splits? Cowards. But I want to tell you, we have to learn to deal with it. We can't just ignore it and act like it never happened. Because you've got people in your congregation, in whichever side of the split that you're on, you've got people there that you're going to have to try to help as best you can. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you, it's a preacher's responsibility before God, amen, to endeavor to get them people that he's got left, get them to heaven. So that means you have to deal with that situation. Sometimes you do nothing. And that's the hardest thing to do. Do nothing. There are other times you have to take the bull by the horn and just deal with it in the way that God speaks to your heart to do. Amen. But in dealing, we got to learn to deal with it in a right attitude and a right spirit. You can be right and still be wrong. I am a holiness preacher. From the top of my head, the longest hair pair, to the longest toenail on my foot, I'm holiness inside and out. I ain't got much hair left up there, you can tell that. But I want to tell you, I have listened, and I know preachers personally, amen, that preach holiness with such a mean spirit and a hateful attitude, amen, that you didn't want no part of it. Now, I want to tell you, you, in every situation, amen, you've got to ask God for divine leadership. Amen. And you have to deal with it in a Christ-like spirit and try to be a bridge builder. Somebody say amen. Hey, I said to somebody just recently, a dear preacher friend of mine, I ain't gonna tell you who it was. I said, oh, I appreciate Brother David's preaching about pressure. Amen. I said to this preacher friend of mine, we as preachers, and especially pastors, cannot afford the luxury of hurt feelings. Hello. And I find out something. I'm getting older. I'm not old, but I am older. I'm old enough that I got 7 great-grandchildren. So I'm just saying to you, I find it more difficult to get over things now than I did when I was younger. Amen. And things bother me more now than they used to. But I have made up my mind. Praise God, I have but one goal. And no matter what people say or do, amen, I'm going to heaven by the help and grace of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we've got, I've got to be careful here. We got a mentality among preachers, and we need to correct that if you preach for him, you can't preach for me. And if you preach for him, you can't preach for me. Because I don't like him because of something he said. Come on, am I doing all right now? And we are not, we have come to the place in the holiness movement that we got the ministry split. Somebody say amen. Now I want to tell you, you're not God. And there are people, come on here, there are people that is in this church that needs help from God. And if you can help them, irregardless of what that preacher said about that preacher, if you can help the people in that church, hey man, get something fixed, come on here. That's our responsibility as ministers of the gospel. I lost y'all right there. Amen. Someone says, I've been hurt so bad. I want to tell you, if you're going to stay in the ministry, pressure, you're going to get hurt. That's part of it. Somebody say amen now. Amen. Along with most all of you brethren, I've had ugly phone calls. I've got nasty letters. Come on here. I have been cursed. Years ago, spit at. Amen. Help me here. I'm in trouble. Amen. But you got to get over top of that and realize that's somebody say amen. And if you don't learn to get over that, then your congregation, come on here, because John Doe, amen, has been ugly to the pastor. And Susie Q, amen, is going to take issue with John Doe. Come on, am I doing all right? Because the pastor can't get over John Doe. Susie Q now, amen, is at odds with John Doe. Amen. The first thing you know, you've got a split in the church. They're under the same roof. Amen. But nobody loves each other and won't pray at the same altar. Help me here. Amen. Hurts have got to be dealt with at the altar. Years ago, y'all just let me talk about myself for a while. It'll be all right. Years ago, I pastored in Texas, Mesquite, Texas, suburb of Dallas. I was young and very energetic, didn't have much sense. I better leave it alone right there. I had a preacher that I did not know. He was recommended by somebody else to come preach a revival meeting. And to this day, I've not forgotten his name. We'll just use his first name. His name was George. And he came from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Came down, preached a 2 weeks revival for us there in the Dallas area. I had a great church, wonderful church. Amen. Had a big choir. I mean, lots of young people. And Doris and Janice is here. They'll remember well. Had a wonderful choir. I think 35 or 40 in the choir. Young people, young married people, sing like mockingbirds, and the power of God would fall, and they'd shout. This George came and preached us a revival meeting. And while he was preaching a revival meeting, I was young, didn't have a lot of sense. Amen. To unbeknownst to me, he was undermining me while he was preaching a revival meeting. Amen. And when that meeting was over, he split the church and took half of the congregation, went down the road about 3 miles and started work. I'm going to tell you, y'all have to excuse me. I'm a savage. You understand? I got mad. I mean, I got hopping mad. Excuse me. I'm sorry. But I couldn't stand it. I said, if I ever meet him, me and him is going to have a rough time. And so time went on. I didn't never meet him for a good while. And I was going to church, what I had left, preaching. But my preaching was going down because I hadn't dealt with that hurt and bitterness. The effect of my preaching, come on, are y'all still with me? Was being affected, not because of him, amen, but because of my own spiritual condition. Amen. And I was praying at church one night, way up in the morning, and the next morning was Sunday, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me about me. Come on here. And I must get control of that me. If I didn't, I would eventually, come on here, I would eventually backslide and get bitter and hate. And I want to tell you, that's not something easy to overcome. Amen. Amen. And way off in the morning for daylight, the Holy Ghost dealing with me, I finally got victory over it, Brother Aaron. God came to me. God helped me. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. And I felt something change inside of me. Amen. And the next week, I was walking down the street of Pleasant Grove part of Dallas, Texas, on the east side of town over, walking down the sidewalk, and I had one of my board members with me, and he's a big guy, weighed about 300 pounds. I've seen him pick up 100 pounds in his hand, put it over his head like it's a piece of cake. Amen. And coming down the street toward me and this board member was this George. My board member said, "Hey, Brother Sebs, there he is. If you will let me, I'll make a grease spot on the sidewalk out of him." But the Lord had already come to me. And I'm glad he came to me. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I said, forget it. Let me show you what happened. Amen. And we kept walking right toward George. And when we got within a few feet of him, amen, George realized it was us. And he didn't know what to do. He just stood still. And I walked up to him and I shook hands with him. And I said, "George, I hope things go well with you and God." And walked on and felt good about it. Praise God. Somebody say amen. I was so glad. I was so glad that the Holy Ghost came to me. 2 weeks later, George left town, went back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, committed suicide. I'm so glad. I'm so glad what the Lord done for me. We can't always help church splits. I want to tell you, you can't. But if you got, come on here, if you got souls in that building, you are responsible to God, amen, to try to get them to heaven. Somebody say amen. Help me, Lord. Has anybody ever had to deal with hurts? Oh, come on. I ain't gonna bite you. I was dealing with a couple. It's been many, many years ago now. And they was having trouble talking about counseling. Amen. And they was about to split up. And so I went and talked to them. She said, I don't love him anymore. I said, really? I said, what's that got to do with it? I lost y'all. I said, you stood before the preacher, which was me. Amen. And you took a vow before God and before man for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, in the good that may lighten the days, in the bad that may darken your ways. Come on here. She said, well, I just don't love you. I said, well, okay. I said, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, yes, Brother Sam, I want to go to heaven. Then I said, you have to start somewhere to build. I said, you can't love him as your spouse or your husband. I said, can you love him as your neighbor? Hello here. Love thy neighbor as thyself? Huh? She said, no, I don't think I can even do that. Now, this is a bad business. Then I said, there's only one left. Love your enemy. And if you can't start on this process of ladder climbing somewhere, you're going to go to hell. I said, really? I said, you start on this ladder. He's your enemy. And you love him as, come on here, as your enemy. And I said, the more you love him as your enemy, amen, come on here, you'll be surprised that after a while, you can get to where you love him like your neighbor. Amen. And when you get to where you can love him like your neighbor, amen, if you pray good enough and the Holy Ghost will work in your life good enough, you can learn to live with him, amen, as your husband and love him. I lost y'all here this morning. Amen. Brother, you got another CD? You might need one. Amen. I was reading this article. Commentator Ellis Koss, he was interviewing victims of some of the worst atrocities of our time. Some of them were survivors of the Holocaust. Some of them were survivors of the African genocide. Some of them were adults that had been molested by a priest in their childhood. Amen. Some were parents of children that were murdered by people that were now on death row. Families of those that were killed in the September 11th terrorist attack. Koss, in his interview, was amazed. Am I doing all right here today? He was amazed at how many of these ordinary human beings found the capacity and the willingness to forgive and were better off for it. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Stop thinking of forgiveness in absolute terms. Amen. Many people think in their mind, amen, that their compassion will inspire people to just keep on doing their nasty work. Am I doing all right now? Say amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, doesn't forgiving let people off the hook when they should be countered, held accountable for their actions? I want to tell you something. Forgiveness is not for John Doe. Forgiveness is for yourself. Hello here. Amen. Forgiveness is not for the, amen, the person that wronged you or spoke bad to you or treated you bad. Amen. Forgiveness, amen, is because there's something inside of here that needs to be healed. And that could only come, amen, at the cross. And the cross at the altar. Amen. Where God, by His gracious mercy, amen, extends His love to us. Somebody say amen. I don't know. I don't know what y'all think about this morning, but I'm telling you. Amen. Feeling. Amen. Church splits most of the time as a result of resentful actions and remarks that were made. Sometimes by admitting that you can't change the past, and so you renounce the hold that you've got yourself on your anger. Amen. You can become stronger yourself when you get that. Overcoming the anger, the hurt, the bitterness in you. Come on here. If there's anybody in history, amen, and I understand, I don't think he's passed away yet, but he's nigh unto it in his 90s. Amen. A man by the name of Nelson Mandela. How many of you remember reading about him? Amen. He spent 26 years in a prison in South Africa and confined to a small cell which had a bucket, amen, for a toilet, and daily hard labor in a limestone quarry. When he was freed at the age of 72, he said, I felt bitter toward my captors, but he said, I was determined. Amen. Not to let it ruin the rest of my life. Somebody say amen. And he said this. Oh, how I have used this for myself as well as others. He said resentment and revenge is like drinking poison for yourself and waiting for it to kill your enemy. It never kills your enemy. It kills yourself. And the best thing you can do, amen, come on here, with resentment and anger and hurt and bitterness, amen, is to get over it yourself. Amen, and ask God for help and grace. Amen, come on here. Amen. When George split my church that I pastored, amen, in Texas years ago, amen, God help me. And had not I had the help of God, I wouldn't be here today. But because of His grace and His mercy, amen, I continue into this very hour. Amen. I haven't got much time left. My father was a preacher. Daddy was a holiness preacher. Some of you that are here may remember meeting my father years ago. He's been deceased since the early 1980s. And in his early years, he was one of the most effective evangelists in the Church of God. He got more people saved in the Church of God as an evangelist than all the state Church of God state evangelist put together. He just had a way of reaching people's hearts. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But there came a time in my father's, I'm talking to you about my kin folks. There came a time in my father's life where something happened. Amen. And my daddy got bitter at a certain man because of a certain situation. And as a result, his ministry took a nosedive. And for years, he kept on preaching. But he never had the effectiveness that he did in his earlier years. Daddy had heart trouble. And he had come out to Northwest Arkansas to visit my sister, who lives, well, at that time she lived in Summers, Arkansas. It's over close to Oklahoma line. And while he was there, he had a heart attack. And they tried to get him to go to the doctor, the hospital there. And he refused to go. He said, no, I will not go. He said, call Lindsay. That's me. I'm the baby of the family. He said, tell him to come get me and drive me home. I did. I flew out there. And I got in his, I think it was the best I remember is a 74 Sedan DeVille Cadillac. Amen. And we got in the car and headed home. And Daddy was hurting. Amen. His heart just kept. Amen. Having a spell after spell. Mama sat in the back seat. Daddy in the passenger side. I drove. Amen. Best I remember, I think I drove straight home because Dad was in such terrible condition. He'd go to the hospital when he got home, but he wouldn't go out there. But all the way home, 1,100 miles, Daddy sat in the passenger seat and he cried and he wept. And he pleaded with me as his preacher son. He said, Lindsay, whatever you do, don't ever let hurt turn into bitterness. He said, I am where I am now because I did not deal with it when I should have and could have. And the man now that wronged me is dead and in the cemetery and I can't fix it with him. And I've asked God to help me. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But my ministry is of no effect hardly anymore at all. And he pled with me for 1,100 miles and cried most of the way. Amen. Don't get it in your heart. Whatever people say to you, whatever they do to you, however they act, come on here. Amen. He said, don't let it happen. Amen. And I've understood that. Amen. I've had a lot of bad things to happen in the ministry. Come on, y'all still with me. Amen. But I have learned one thing from that is example. I refuse to let it get a hold. Amen. I deal with it while it's still, amen, in infancy. Amen. I refuse to let it grow into adulthood. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Hey, somebody say amen. A lot of my preacher's friends have gone the other way. Are y'all still with me? That does not mean I have to go that way. And that does not mean they're not my friends. I've got some worldly preacher friends, and I've got some loose-living preacher friends, but I've got a whole lot of holiness preacher friends. Amen. I just don't fellowship with that crowd. Amen. I stay. Come on here. I tell young preachers all the time, amen, surround yourself with good holiness men and stay with it. Amen. If you don't, come on here. Amen. You wind up bitter. Anybody here say amen? I want us to look at something in this scripture. I want you to look at Israel's response to Naomi's return. She was gone. Now, we don't have any record that anybody else left. But there's just one family. And while she was gone to Moab, which is God's, called God's washpot, while she was over there, she lost her husband and her two sons. Come on here. Amen. But she heard how the Lord had visited Israel. Woo! I'm feeling better. Amen. And one of the writers that I read after said, the way she heard it was an angel from heaven told her there is a visitation going on. Amen. In Bethlehem, Judah, get home where you belong. Praise God. Hey, hey, somebody say amen. Now, Naomi and Ruth went back to Bethlehem, Judah. Get this. Verse 19. And all the city was moved about them. I want to know, what was that? What did they mean? Did they point accusing fingers? Come on here. Did they say, you should never have left the darkness? You knew better. They could have. But come on here. The writers that I read after said, all the city was glad she was there. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. A year ago, the 1st of June, amen, I was called upon again, amen, to go to Bible Holiness Church in Elkton, Virginia. Amen. The pastor left. The church is split. I mean split. Amen. Took some of the best talent. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. They asked me if I'd come as an interim pastor till they'd get somebody. I was there for 14 months. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. That church in 4 years had four splits. And the truth of the matter is, the door should have been shut by all natural means. Not enough money left to pay the payments and the bills and a preacher. Are y'all still here? Amen. I went there. A dear preacher friend of mine, if I was called his name, most all of you here would know him. Amen. When I called him and told him I had to cancel his meeting because I was going to take out church, try to help them folks, he said, you are crazy. A couple times I thought so myself. But I went because I knew that's what God wanted. And when God gets in the middle of something, it works. Woo! I said, when God gets in it, it works. Amen. And for 9 months, we struggled and we prayed. Amen. And we preached. Come on. I tried my best to build bridges across the creek instead of building fence. And I said to those people that were left, and some of them were very bitter. Amen. Because the talent and the money was gone. Amen. From those that left. And I said, you can't allow that to live in your life and your heart. Am I doing all right? Praise God. And I preached to them, and I preached to them, and I preached to them until, praise God, I can honestly say the Lord helped us and they got over it. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. One of them, I guess the main man, amen, young preacher, that was instigator of that split, called me on the phone one day and said, Brother Savage, can I come talk to you? I said, you sure can. I said, meet me at the church in my study. He did. And he is crying. And he said, can I come home? Hello. Can I come home? He said, the grass ain't as green over there as I thought it was. Come on here. Can I come home? I said, oh, help me here. I'm in trouble. Probably some of y'all going to disagree with me. It's okay. I don't mind. I've been disagreed with before. Amen. I said, are you willing? Amen. To pray and ask God for grace to stand up publicly in this church. Come on here. And you ask God to forgive you and ask this church people to forgive you. Come on here. Amen. I said, if you will and you do, you'll find out that this place will open their arms because they're ready for you to come back home. Praise God. He did and we did. Praise God. Somebody say glory. And since he came back, amen, four or five other families that was instrumental in all of that has come back and the church is together and shouting the victory. Praise God. Are y'all still with me? I want to tell you, when God gets in it, it'll work. Amen. I can honestly say, I have to tell you, the other three splits that happened earlier, amen, they have not come back, and they may not ever come back. Somebody said, well, I'd let them come back if they'd ask forgiveness. I want to tell you, your heart's got to be right if they never ask forgiveness.
Hello. A dear preacher friend of mine that I love dearly, and we're close, very close. He and his blood brother had a disagreement. It's been years ago now. And he said, oh, Brother Savage, he said, I wish he'd come and ask for forgiveness. He said, I'd be so glad for him to. I said, don't hold your breath. I said, you've got to, whether he ever does or not. And my dear preacher friend got to the place one day, he prayed through about it, and God helped him. Come on here. And he and his brother today are in good fellowship. His brother has never asked forgiveness, but it doesn't make any difference to my good friend now, because he's got it fixed. Woo! Glory to God. I want to tell you, hey man, the whole city was moved. Hey man, when Naomi and Ruth came into, hey man, Bethlehem, Judah. Oh, we're glad to see you, Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Hey man, I would not fall in the Lord. Back empty. I'm bitter. Amen. Get over it, Naomi. Praise God. There's barley fields are growing. Hey, hey. There's wheat. Amen. Growing. Hey, hey, hey. Amen. There's meat in the marketplace. Amen. There's pies in the ovens. Amen. Come on, Naomi. Let's eat. Amen. For the Lord has been gracious to us.
I've been to Israel 10 times. Took many, several trips to Israel, Jordan, Greece, and Egypt. Has anybody ever been to Israel? Yeah. Some of y'all might went with us. I know Brother Sister Greece did. There's something about that place that is inspiring to me. The streets in Israel, I mean the main street where all the shops are no wider than from here to that wall. And shops on both sides. Y'all still with me? But strange as it is, you walk down that street and there are vendors on both sides. Man, has anybody ever had in a baklava? I guess that's the way you say it. You ain't never had nothing so tasty in your life.
It's a thin sheet of, oh, y'all see it with me. Thin sheet what do you call that, ladies? Amen. And then they got crushed nuts and syrup and another thin sheet and another layer of nuts and syrup and honey and another thin sheet. Amen. And another layer. And they top it off. Come on, how y'all still with me? And you never eat anything so... Am I making you hungry already? Y'all wanting to leave me. I can see that right now. Ah, but amen. The first time I ever put any of that in my mouth, Brother Sumner. Amen. Woo! My eyes lighted up and got what? I said, I have never tasted anything any better than that in my life. And I walked down the street, hey, and there was pies. Amen. And there was cookies. Amen. And there's all kind of pastries down both sides of the street. And I can see Naomi, praise God, and Ruth as they come in the Damascus gate. And they look around and say, all of this good pastries and the meat hanging in the market. Amen. She said it wasn't this way when I left. Hey. But I remember the old days. I remember when it was. Great God. Woo! I'll tell you what. The Holy Ghost can make the church afresh and anew until it's still sweet. Woo! Come on, Naomi. Come on, Ruth. This is the best you've ever had. Lift your hands and worship.